To the book of Proverbs. I'm going to shed this jacket. I'm looking forward to, I'm not going to say I'm looking forward to winter. I'm not. I'll just keep taking the jacket off. My wife loves the snow, so there's going to be some, we're going to need marriage counseling in about 2 months. She'll be all happy when it's snowing and 30 below. And I still have joy, but I'm not happy about it. So, well, today, continuing our study in Proverbs, we're going to be looking at friendship, analyzing friendship. This is theme number 7. Not sure how many more themes we'll have. We'll have a few anyhow, but the word friend or friendship, as we look at Proverbs, friendship or friend appears 23 times in the book of Proverbs. The Hebrew word, and the Andersons can correct me if I don't pronounce this right, Hebrew word is reya. The word neighbor appears in Proverbs 18 times, but it's the same Hebrew word. So it's translated friend 23 times. It's translated neighbor 18 times. There's also the word companion that appears 5 times in Proverbs. And then there's this word mix, and it appears 1 time in reference to alliances or friendship. That's in Proverbs 23:20, where it says, "Do not mix with winebibbers or with gluttonous eaters of meat." And so Proverbs has a lot to say about friendship, has a lot to say about companionship and who we form alliances with. And so again, back to our springboard. You guys have this memorized yet? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And so we've been talking about this every week since we've hit these themes. A son who fears the Lord is one who has a reverence for God based on a relationship with God, expressed through submission to God, and therefore bringing glory to God. And so we've looked at the fact that a wise son makes a father glad. And so it would be good, again, for us to see what God's Word says about friends and friendships. So today I want to analyze friendship. So let's pray, and then we'll look at this topic. Lord, thank you again for the opportunity that we can gather together corporately to worship you, to sing praises to you, to open your word, and to look at this topic of friendship. Lord, you have a lot to say about this in your word, so I pray that we would not just read these words of Scripture, but we would have that knowledge and apply it, that wisdom, apply this knowledge, and so that we would make you glad in our friendships, and also in what kind of friend we are. So again, just pray for guidance and direction today, recall of study, and that each one of us would respond in a way that would honor you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. First thing I want to look at this morning is the fact that God made us to be in community. I don't know if anybody else has ever said this or thought this. There's been times in my life where I thought, you know what, it'd be nice if somebody just took me and dropped me from a helicopter in the middle of nowhere and just live in seclusion. You ever thought that? You know, maybe somebody's irritating in you and you just thought, isolation. And I like, you know, I go out and I bow hunt and I'm in a tree stand. I enjoy that time and spend a lot of time in prayer. But God didn't make us to live in isolation. He made us to live in community. Just a few verses in Genesis, God said, it is not good for man to be alone. So he created everything. He created man and animals, and he looked at the animals. They all had a mate. But he looked at man and he said, it's not good for man to be alone. So he fashioned Eve out of Adam's side. It wasn't good for man to be alone. So he made a companion for him. In Hebrews, it says, not forsaking our own assembling together. And this is talking about corporate worship. It's we're to come together, to assemble together. And when we assemble together, it should be encouraging and edifying. And then we have this verse in Proverbs, it's in 18:1, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against sound judgment. There's another version that says, a man who isolates himself leaves himself to his own demise. So God made us to be in community with other people. We need companionship. God created us and designed us to have friendships, to have companionship. And so it's important. God made us to be in community. Nevertheless, we do need to choose our friends wisely. Who are we spending time with? What alliances are we making? And so I want to look at this subject today, choosing our friends wisely, because foolish friends are a spiritual hindrance. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 22, verses 24 and 25. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 20. Do not mix, and I mentioned this verse already, do not mix with wine bibbers or with gluttonous eaters of meat. Don't mix with friends, with people that don't have self-control. And so don't make a friendship with an angry man. Don't mix with people that have no self-control. Why not? Because you could learn his ways. You can be ensnared. You can become ensnared. And so we're not to mix with people that don't have self-control. You can become like your friend. You can become a person that has unrighteous anger, or you can become a person with no self-control. Proverbs 15:33 says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. And now in that context, it's talking about doctrine. But this is true in regards to doctrine. It's true in other areas of life, that bad company corrupts good character or good morals. For those of us that have kids, have you ever seen that happen? Bad company corrupts good morals. We have four kids, and we have 17 ankle biters. They're also known as grandkids. And I'll give you an example. Now, this wasn't necessarily a sin, but just to show you how easily they're influenced. Here, a few weeks ago, I had a grandkid over, and we're walking down to the garage. And it's, I don't know, it might be 110 yards or so. But on the way down, he's spitting. And he spit like 8 times on the way to the garage. And I looked at him, I said, do you have dirt in your mouth? He said, no, why? I said, well, you keep spitting. And I said, why are you spitting? Well, I don't know. Well, a couple weeks later, I have another grandkid over, and we're heading down to the garage, and he's spitting. I asked the same question. I said, do you have dirt in your mouth? No. Why? I said, well, you won't quit spitting. That's just habit. I said, well, where did you learn that? Well, I was with my cousin. And so, and one starts spitting, the other starts spitting. And again, it's not a sin issue we're talking about. I mean, people spit, but he picked it up. And it's so easy to see people influenced. But it's not just kids. I mean, bad company corrupts good morals. And you see that, especially if your kid's a follower, they're with somebody, and pretty soon they're starting to, whatever their mannerisms, their habits, the way they talk, the way they walk, they start to do that. And so we can pick up habits, we can learn a person's ways, whether it's good or bad, but we need to choose our friends wisely, because foolish friends can be a spiritual hindrance. And I'm not suggesting that we ignore people or we shun them. We can try to reach people, but I'm talking about an alliance, a friendship, because foolish friends are a spiritual hindrance. The flip side is true. Wise friends are a spiritual help. Go to Proverbs chapter 27. In Proverbs chapter 27, in verse 9, it says, the ointment and perfume delight the heart, and the sweetness of a man's friend gives delight by hearty counsel. And so a good friend can be a spiritual help. They encourage us. A good Christian friend can be a great encouragement. They can give you sound biblical advice. They pray for you. They point you back to Scripture. They point you to Christ. I'm thankful for Christian friends that I can call and they can encourage me. I'm down, I call, they encourage me, they point me back to Scripture. I'm thankful that in facing difficult situations, I have those godly friends to look to. Wise friends encourage, and wise friends also challenge. Chapter 27, verse 17, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. If you have a good Christian friend, you sharpen each other. You're challenging each other. You're going to Scripture and you're talking to each other. Hey, how's your devotional life? How's your prayer life? How's your thought life? You're sharpening each other. You're encouraging each other. There's that challenge. And it'll spurn you to grow spiritually. They're pointing you to Christ. They're encouraging you with truth. They help you draw closer to the Lord instead of away from Him. So they'll challenge. You'll have good discussions. They'll have criticism. They'll point things out that you need to work on. There's suggestions. There's ideas. But a godly friend also corrects. Look at verse 6 of chapter 27. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. In other words, when a friend tells you something that you don't want to hear, but you need to hear, that's good. A good friend isn't going to just tell you what you want to hear. They're going to tell you what you need to hear. And yeah, it's to be done in love. It's to be done with kindness and gentleness. It's to be done privately with the right motive. But it has to be done. And we know that love covers a multitude of sins, but there's a point in time, if you see a friend that's in error, living in sin, you got to point that out to him. You got to say, listen, I see this in your life, and this attitude or this action is leading to trouble. Is this what God would want you to do? And that challenge is necessary. That's what a good friend does. You look at this verse again, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Someone just tells you what you want to hear, they're not your friend. If they're just telling you what you want to hear, they're not a friend at all. A good friend will correct you. They're going to tell you if you're in error. You know, I have one of my closest friends. I'll be talking to him on the phone, and if my attitude's not right, he has said to me, do I have to come down there and slap you? And I don't think he would do it, but he might. But I've been talking on the phone to him, and I've said the same. Do I have to come up there and slap you? But what I know is he cares enough, and if he sees the wrong attitude or the wrong motive, he's going to come down here, and we're going to have a talk that I don't want to have. That's a good friend. He's not afraid. He encourages me often. There's encouragement, but he's not afraid to correct me if I need correction. That's a true friend. One that will correct you. He's going to exhort. He's going to rebuke. And so a good godly friend is a benefit. He's a help spiritually because they encourage, they challenge, and they correct. And so a challenge today is to be a good friend. Be wise. Be an encourager. Be one that corrects and that challenges, that sharpens the others. But Proverbs has more to say. Also, we need to be reliable. Look at Proverbs 17:17. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves when? At all times. And a brother is born for adversity. A friend loves at all times. A friend doesn't shut he doesn't just, if a crisis comes, turn his back on him. And we can go to 1 Corinthians. Is there a time that we separate from a brother in sin? Yes. But a friend loves at all times. Doesn't shut them out of a time of crisis. A true friend is a friend in prosperity and in adversity. He loves at all times. So a friend is reliable. Look at Proverbs 18:24. A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And at first reading of this, it looks like, hey, if I want to have friends, plural, I need to be friendly. And of course, if you want to have friends, you have to be friendly. But there's a contrast here. A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend, singular, who sticks closer than a brother. And so what is this text saying? And again, it's often mistaken to mean, well, if I want to have a lot of friends, I got to be friendly. ESV translation is maybe the clearest and helps us grasp what this is saying. It says, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. So what this means is, if I want a bunch of friends, and so I carelessly just, oh, I want to be friends with this person and this person, you just want a bunch of friends, so you're not being selective, it can lead to your ruin. But if you choose your friends carefully, select wise friends, it's going to be a benefit to you. It's going to be you're going to have a friend who is closer than a brother. We want to be wise in selection of our friends. Look at Proverbs 27:10. Do not forsake your own friend or your father's friend, nor go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. Better is a neighbor nearby than a brother far away. Better is a friend who is near than one who is far away. And so that no matter what, that person is going to be there. They're going to be dependable. That you can call day or night, no matter the circumstances. A good friend is godly, is reliable. A good friend is also faithful. Look at Proverbs 16:28. A perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. A good friend isn't talking behind your back. Some so-called friends are quick to gossip. They're quick to go to someone else and talk about you. And we looked at communication in Proverbs a couple weeks ago, but some so-called friends can do a lot of damage with their mouth. And again, this verse, we see that they're faithful. They don't stab in the back. They're not talking behind your back. A perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. A gossiper will separate a friendship. It'll ruin a friendship. Chapter 17, verse 9, he who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. We have two options if a brother sins against us. We can either lovingly cover it or lovingly confront it. That's the only two options. Both are done in love. He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter, you go around and you're telling everybody else about it, again, separates friends. But a true friend is faithful. Look at Proverbs 25, verse 8. Do not go hastily to court, for what will you do in the end when your neighbor has put you to shame? And then verse 18, a man who bears false witness against his neighbor is like a club, a sword, and a sharp arrow. Again, our mouths, the way we talk, gossiping, slandering, can separate, can destroy a friendship. So we need to be careful about how we talk. If a friend has offended you, you go to him alone. You rebuke him. That's the order. You go first to him alone. Then a friend is also respectful. Look at chapter 27, verse 14. My wife will like this one. How many here like mornings? Not very many. Look at chapter 27, 14. He who blesses his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it will be counted a curse to him. I love mornings. And that I think I used to pick on my kids. I say, you guys don't realize that when the sun actually comes up, you think it starts up here. I love mornings. But, you know, to some people don't. And so my friends that don't, for me to walk over, bang on the door and say, hey, great morning, isn't it? You got some coffee brewing? And it's going to be a curse to me. Todd said he likes mornings, so I guess I have one neighbor I can go over. Yeah. But that loud, have respect. Have respect for your neighbor. Be respectful. If your friend doesn't like mourning, be sensitive to say the right things at the right time. If your friend lost a loved one in a tragic accident to a drunk driver, even though it's truth, it might not be the time to say, well, all things work together for good. We say the right things at the right time. Be sensitive to where they're at. Yes, we speak the truth, but we need to have knowledge as to when to speak. Look at Proverbs 25, 16, and 17. Have you found honey? Eat only as much as you need, lest you be filled with it and vomit. Verse 17, seldom set foot in your neighbor's house, lest he become weary of you and hate you. What's that verse saying? Don't overstay your welcome. You know, I heard one preacher put it this way. He said they were on their way. They went to people from church invited them over. They went to their house and they said, well, we got to go. And the kid said, well, why do we have to leave already? And he said, because they haven't asked us to leave yet. Don't overstay your welcome. Be respectful. Be helpful. Look at Proverbs 3:27. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in the power of your hand to do so. Don't withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in the power of your hand to do so. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I'll give it to you, when you have it with you. Do not devise evil against your neighbor. And so be helpful. If you have the ability and the capability of helping a friend, do it. On the flip side, be a good friend. Don't take advantage of it. But if there's a genuine need, you can help. We don't enable people. We're not to enable people. Bad habits, bad decisions. But if you have the ability and capability to help someone in need, it says help them. Be a good friend. Look at Proverbs 11, 12, and 13. He who is devoid of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of faithful spirit conceals a matter. And so we need to be careful about our speech and how we talk, how we treat another neighbor. Here's one we've already looked at, and that is be cautious. Proverbs 17, 18. A man devoid of understanding shakes hands in a pledge and becomes surety for his friend. We talked about this, I think we were in one of the earlier Proverbs, about handling money and not becoming a cosigner, because that can ruin friendships. And so be careful about the alliances. Be careful about surety. Be cautious. Borrowing to a friend can lead to broken friendships. Know where to draw the boundaries. Becoming surety for a friend is a bad idea. It can lead to destroyed friendships. And so, the so what, and you guys are probably going to get out early today. What kind of friends do I have? What kind of alliances have you made? Are they spiritually a hindrance, or are they spiritually helpful? Are they pointing you to Christ? Are they pouring truth into your life? You know, there's a point in time, I got saved when I was 20 years old. And I had some, I was a bad friend and I had bad friends. And so when I got saved, there were people I just couldn't spend time with. I had been a bad influence on them, but we did things together. The communication, the conversation, the actions, it wasn't good. And so when I got saved, I had to pull away from a lot of friendships. And again, I'm not saying you shun people, you ignore them, you know, but there was a point in time where I couldn't be around them. Because if I was, I'd be right back in the same pit I was in. And I'm not talking about losing salvation, but bad habits. And so I had to pull away from that stuff. One of them was my brother. I couldn't be with him. And so there was a time frame where I didn't spend time with him. I saw him on holidays, but I didn't go to his house. We didn't go places together. And that was a bit difficult. But it had to happen. I could not be with him. What kind of friends do you have? It took a time frame where I couldn't be with these people. Then when they realized I wasn't going certain places with them, my conversation had changed. They didn't want to be with me. And so that happens. But I have friends that will encourage me. They're going to sharpen me. They're going to point me in the right direction. And it came to a point where, can I witness to them? Absolutely. But there's a point in time where I couldn't be with them. So what kind of friends do I have? Have you chosen your friends wisely? Are they friends that are a spiritual hindrance or a spiritual help? And when you think of this, oftentimes we think of our kids because they are at a pretty important stage in their life. Their friends can really influence them. But it's true for all of us. Who we spend a lot of time with, we can be ensnared. We can learn their ways. And so, what kind of friends do we have? Are they going to point you to Christ, or are they going to feed your flesh? But here's another question. What kind of friend are you? Are you a friend that's reliable? Are you trustworthy? Are you faithful? Are you helpful? Are you respectful? Are you sharpening others around you? What kind of friend are you? Are you pointing other people to Christ? Are you encouraging them, building them up? And analyze what kind of friend you are as well. What kind of friend are you? Do you encourage? Do you challenge? Do you correct? Or do you just tell people what they want to hear? And I don't want to offend them, so I'm not going to confront that sin in their life. A good friend will correct as well. And we end with this. Just choose your friends wisely. Choose your friends wisely. Kids. Paul, you mentioned this. I don't know if it was on a Wednesday night or if it was a Sunday morning, but you mentioned, I have the right to veto my kids' friends. We have to watch for that. Who they're spending time with, because they can be ensnared. They can learn their ways. We need to guard that. But also ourselves. You can go to work, and sometimes work environments aren't that great. There's a lot of conversation going on that really you should walk away from. What are you listening to? What are you involved with? But we need to choose our friends wisely, but we also need to be a wise friend. What kind of friend are you? Don't get caught up in the gossip, the filthy communication, and actions that wouldn't please God, but be that friend that's going to say, hey, this isn't right. This is what God's Word says, and bring it back and be that wise friend. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your Word once again. That challenges us, that gives us instruction for how we ought to live. I pray that each one today we would analyze friendship. Not only what kind of friends we have, if there are friends that we have that we really should not be spending a lot of time with, Lord, I just pray that each one of us would take that action. Again, not to shun, not to ignore, but we need to spend less time so we don't get ensnared by their ways and learn their ways. But also, Lord, what kind of friend are we? I pray that we would be a friend that is reliable and trustworthy, that's respectful, that will point others to you, to be a faithful friend that corrects when needed. And so, Lord, I pray again that we would analyze this, that we would respond to your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.